Go to Luke chapter 23, and we're going to begin this morning at the 35th verse. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you. We're going to be jumping around a little bit today, and if you can follow along, I think you'll get a blessing. When you can look at God's Word with your own eyes, there is a blessing with that, and so I want to encourage you, if you can, kind of follow along today. But let's look at Luke chapter 23, and we're going to begin there at the 35th verse. And the Bible says, "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Let's bow our heads. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we just ask, dear God, that you would bless your word. And we just pray, dear God, that your Son would receive all the glory. And we lift his name above all other names. And we just pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts today. And Lord, as we try to preach, just pray, God, you'd speak to men on the inside and talk to their hearts. And ask, Lord, if there is a need in the congregation, man, woman, or child, Lord, you'd speak to them and they could come and deal with whatever they have to do. Father, we again give you the glory. And Lord, we can do nothing without you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we look at the cross and we look at what's going on here, you're going to notice there's going to be four groups that are mentioned in these verses that are listed out for us at the cross. Four different groups that are around Jesus. And the first group is mentioned in verse 35. And you notice the Bible says this again, and the people stood beholding. So there was people there that day. There was a crowd of people. They were there to watch Jesus die. They were there to watch the two other malefactors die. And their purpose of being there wasn't to fulfill any other function other than they wanted some entertainment. They wanted to see something. They wanted to see somebody die. And they didn't care how it happened, but they were there just for the entertainment. And while they're there, and while Jesus and the two malefactors are dying, notice the Bible says that they deride him. They're saying, and it says, he saved others, let him save himself. So they're mocking Jesus, they're making fun of him, they're scoffing, and that's what deride means. They mocked, they scoffed, they ridiculed, they laughed at him, they belittled him. But while this man is dying on the cross, they got great pleasure out of insulting him and trying to humiliate him. Here, they remind me of what the Bible says over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. Let me share with you real quick what it says over here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. These are the kind of folks these are. They love pleasure more than God. And they got enjoyment out of watching people suffer and die. So there are some of the people that are standing at the foot of the cross. But the Bible also tells us there's another group of people there in verse 35. And they're the rulers. The Bible tells us the rulers of the people were there. This would have been the Jewish elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. Let me go back here in Matthew chapter 27 and Matthew 27, verse 41, kind of lists to us some more of the things that they said. It says, likewise, the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let God deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Notice the mocking in their voice. Notice the doubt. These guys here, they are belittling Jesus. And what it is they are saying that if you're really God's Son, then come on out the cross. If God loves you so much, he won't let you die like that. Come on down off that cross. And they're belittling Jesus in front of all the crowd, and they're just laughing and mocking. These guys are again identified. If you look in Luke chapter 22 and verse 63, the Bible says, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face, asked him, saying, prophesy, who is that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him to their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said to them, if I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. And they said, and then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. And they said, what need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. These gentlemen here, these chief priests and scribes, these elders and Pharisees, they hated Jesus. They despised Jesus. And I'll tell you why they hated Jesus so much. Because Jesus would not bow down to them like all the other people did. You see, these guys, they demanded that people worship them, basically, and respect them. However, when Jesus taught, the Bible says in Matthew 7:28, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now listen to why they were astonished. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught, which means that Jesus showed that you ought to worship God, you ought to worship the Lord, not worship these scribes and Pharisees. He taught that and they hated that about him. So when it came time for Jesus to die, not only have they orchestrated all this, but now they are joining in and they're mocking him and laughing at him while he's dying on the cross. And they're saying things like, he saved others, but he can't save himself. Who are the others he's talking about? Well, if you look through your scriptures, he saved Lazarus, didn't he? Lazarus was dead. What about the daughter of Jairus? Raised her back to life. The woman of Nain, the widow. She was going through carrying her dead son. And Jesus went and touched the coffin and brought him back to life. What about the lepers and the blind and the deaf and the halt and all those with palsy? He healed all those people. He saved many people. The truth is he saved so many people, but he did not come this day to save himself. He came to give his life a ransom for many. I go over here to Mark chapter 15 and verse 32. And listen to what it says in Mark 15:32. That these scribes and Pharisees said, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. So here it's saying that they're saying, we'll believe if you come off the cross. But I want you to understand something about these men. These men's hearts were so hard that nothing was going to make them believe. Even if Jesus came off the cross, they wouldn't believe. And I'll tell you how I know that. I can go back over here to John chapter 12 and verse 9. Look how hard their hearts are. John chapter 12 and verse 9. Much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death also. Why did the chief priests want to put Lazarus to death? Because Jesus resurrected him from the dead. And they wanted to kill him again. See, never in their minds did they believe. They never accepted that Jesus, maybe he was who he said he was. He just raised the man from the dead. They would not believe. They would not believe. Do you remember when the rich man died and went into hell? And in hell, he asked Abraham, he said, send Lazarus to go to my brethren. Do you remember what Lazarus said? Well, what Abraham said about Lazarus? He said, your brothers will not believe though one rose from the dead. And that's exactly the truth. Here you have a man that was risen from the dead. They didn't believe him. Jesus rose from the dead and they didn't believe him. Men's hearts can be so hard. So even at the cross, these men refused to believe. But now we're going to move on to another group of men that were at the cross. And this is the soldiers. Verse 36 says this, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. These soldiers were men that have seen terrible things. Of course, they have fought in wars, but it sounds to me these men were men that are very accustomed to executions. And these guys, when it came to being instruments of cruelty, they had no problem with that. They had no problem mocking a man as he died. In fact, when you read in John chapter 19, verse 34, you know what they did? The Bible says when Jesus was already dead, one of them took his spear and pierced his side. You know, when you'll take your spear and do that to a dead man, that shows you what kind of calloused heart you have. Yeah, these guys were mean, wicked men. You see, on the cross, Jesus found no mercy, did he? He found no respect. He found no kindness. No one showed him any kind of honor because he's paying for our sins. And when you pay for someone's sins, there can be no mercy. You see, for a person to go to hell, there's no mercy in hell. There's no kindness in hell. And Jesus was paying for our sins on the cross. And as all of my wrong and your wrong was being put on him, Jesus received no mercy, just mockery. In fact, if I flip back here to Psalm 22 and verse 7, listen to what the Bible says in prophesying about the cross. Psalm 22 and verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Wow, that's exactly what they were saying, wasn't it? How wicked, how awfully terrible Jesus was treated. And not only was he treated bad by the people, by the chief rulers, and by the soldiers, but he was also treated bad by the men that were dying with him. We go back to Matthew 27 and verse 44. Matthew 27, 44, the Bible tells us, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. So both men on both sides of him also were mocking him. Mark 15, 32 again reminds us that those men reviled him. But when we get here to Luke, Luke is going to focus not on both men, but Lucas is going to focus on one of the men. Now listen to what the one man said in verse 39, Luke 23, 39. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. So here you have a man that is wanting a form of salvation. He's asking to be saved, isn't he? But his way of asking isn't one of humility and sincerity. He's asking salvation in a mocking tone. He's asking to be saved and he's laughing and belittling Jesus. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. That wasn't the prayer of faith. That was a prayer of mockery. This old boy here is being executed for his crimes. And you can tell he's not sorry for what he did, is he? He's not repentant. He's not remorseful for his wickedness. He's angry. He's like so many people. They're angry that they got caught. Not angry of what they've done. They're mad themselves. "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." All he was interested in was having his own skin saved, getting out of this situation. He reminds me of a lot of people. You know, we live in a world today where people, they don't want to acknowledge God, but they sure don't mind blaming God. Have you noticed that? They don't want to acknowledge Him as a Creator. They won't bow before Him and honor Him. But if anything goes wrong in this world, what do they say? If there was a God, how could this happen? If God is so good, why does He let this happen? Why does He let this happen? And there's folks out there, they're haters, and they're always putting down God. They will not acknowledge Him, but they'll sure blame Him. And I want to warn you, church, don't get caught up in their rhetoric. Don't get caught up in their thought process. People say stuff like that, and they're always blaming God. Why did God let 9/11 happen? Why does God let these ISIS terrorists happen? Well, it's very simple. God has given every human being in this planet free will. And God lets us choose to do right, and He lets us choose to do wrong. And that's the way it is. And you can see the reason that there's so much suffering in the world is because of our choices. You know, it's funny, when we make bad choices, usually it's innocent people that suffer for our bad choices. But the fact of the matter is when I make a choice, for example, if a man cheats on his wife, who is affected the most? The wife and the kids and the family and grandkids and generations. You see, that is what free will is all about. God lets you choose. And we live in a world where God has given man the opportunity to choose. You can choose to serve God or you can choose not to serve God. But God gives us free will. And so instead of blaming God, we should blame the people that do wrong. You know, I always am amazed at our country and the people when they come up with their conclusions, like, when you have a shooting somewhere, we want to blame all the NRA people that have guns. Why don't we just blame the guy that had the gun and shot somebody? Blame the people that did wrong. 9/11, when it happened, that wasn't our country's fault. That was the terrorists' fault. They did it. Blame, it's as simple as that. Blame the people responsible. We try to blame everybody else, even innocent people. But we don't want to blame the guilty party. But the fact of the matter is, God's given us free will. Do you remember Job? Job went through a tremendous battle. He went through a tremendous hard time. Do you remember Job lost his entire fortune? He lost his entire family. He lost his health. He had nothing. And you would think if there was a man that would blame God, it would be that man. But listen to what Job said. Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and he worshipped. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I tell you, there's so many people today like this man on the cross, that they think that they are entitled at the throne of God. Let me tell you, God is good to us, but we are not entitled to anything. We're not entitled, but God is so good to us that we think we are. That's the truth, but we're not. Yeah, why do bad things happen? It's not God's fault. It's our fault. We're sinners. But you know what else? Some people are like this thief also. They try to negotiate with God. Have you ever known someone that got in trouble and they said a prayer like this? Because I've said it, and maybe y'all have too. "God, if you get me out of this mess, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I will do this, this, and this." Have y'all ever prayed that prayer? I'm going to tell you, I prayed it, and I prayed it more than once. Okay? I remember this is how dumb I was. When I was a kid, there was this girl I was sweet on. I can't even remember her. I remember her name now. I'm not going to say it. But I thought she was the prettiest thing there ever was. And I said, "God, if you let her be my girlfriend, I'll do this, 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 and this. And guess what? God let her be my girlfriend for a day. And then she took my little heart and crumpled it up and just ripped it apart and threw it on the ground and set it on fire. Okay. And I quit making bargains with God then. I just said, God, you know what's best for me. I'm not going to worry about that anymore. But a lot of people, I knew a man got hurt really bad, came to this church. He got real hurt bad. He came one Sunday, sat in the back pew, almost died. And if I said his name, y'all knew who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to say it. And I said, brother, I'm so glad you're here. Glad to have you. I heard you had a bad week. I'm glad you're at church. He said, God spared me this week. He saved me. He says, you're going to see a lot more of me. I said, that's wonderful. And I think that's been 10, 12 years ago. That one Sunday, I must have preached a good sermon. It's held him over since then, I guess. I don't remember what I preached, but it must have been a good one. But see, people make bargains with God. You know, they make it, they're not sincere about it. And you know, you can't do that. And that's what this guy is doing. He said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. You know, he's kind of trying to make a bargain, you know. But the deal is you can't bargain with God. There's a lot of Christians, so-called Christians, they don't ever pray until something bad happens, right? They don't ever read their Bibles until something bad happens. And I think a lot of times we're afraid to admit we're a lot like this guy. We shouldn't be like that. You know what's sad? This guy, his prayer is this, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And what did Jesus say to him? Nothing. There is a frightening silence comes from our Lord's mouth. He doesn't answer, doesn't say a word. But there was another thief that day. The Bible says in verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him. There's another thief that was on the cross. And at the beginning of the day, he mocked Jesus like all the others did. And he was right there with him, laughing and joking and mocking and insulting him. But as he was on that cross, something happened to him. God began to work in this man's heart. I don't know exactly what happened, but while he was on that cross, he watched Jesus die. And he realized Jesus wasn't a normal man. This was a king next to me. He wasn't like other men. He heard Jesus talk. John chapter 19, verse 25. The Bible says, now stood by the cross of Jesus' mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved. He saith to his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he to his disciple, behold thy mother. Luke chapter 23, verse 34, he heard Jesus say this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as this man is on the cross, and he heard Jesus speak, it began to touch his heart, I believe. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, as Jesus is on the cross dying, and this man is next to him, Jesus is the light of the world, and he's receiving light. He's beginning to understand that there's something special about Christ. Now, John chapter 1, verse 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is called the Word of God here. He's referred to as the Word of God. And by the way, again, you cannot separate Jesus from the Bible. They are one of the same. He's called the Word of God. Revelation chapter 19, I believe verse 13, even says his title is the Word of God. So, as Jesus is speaking, as the words are being spoken to, the Word is beginning to do something in his heart. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So God's Word is dealing with him. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what? the Word of God. How do you get faith? By reading the Bible and hearing the Bible read, hearing the Bible preached. It produces faith. And as he heard Jesus speak, he began to get faith. And he began to believe. And something is changing in this man's heart. And notice, he begins to speak. And he sat there and he's heard him mock. He's listened to him mock and mock. And he's had enough. And he can't take it anymore. And he finally says this in Luke chapter 23. He speaks out and says this in verse 40. Dost not thou fear God? Now, I don't know what kind of deeds this man has done to be on the cross. He hasn't feared God like he should. But something's happened to him. I don't know if he was raised differently. But he fears God now. He's realizing that death is coming his way. He realizes that by the end of this day, he'll be in eternity. And he's beginning to be afraid. And he's fearing God. The other guy doesn't fear God at all. He's not a bit afraid. But this guy is afraid. He's getting scared. He's realizing how serious. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So now that this fear of God is coming across him, he makes a confession in verse 41. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. For we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. You see, here's what he's saying. He's confessing that we deserve to get what we're getting. Okay? Let me tell you something real quick. When you can get a person to where this thief is, you're in a very good place. Let me tell you about this thief. His heart is tender. He is no longer trying to save face. He is no longer trying to look good. He is no longer trying to hide his sin. He is no longer worried about what anyone thinks of him. He says the truth. And what did Jesus say about the truth? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And here's what he declares on the cross. I am a sinner, and I deserve to die. I'm guilty. I know it. God knows it. Everybody knows it. And what a good place it is when we can just be honest about who we are, that we are all sinners. And we quit trying to pretend like we're good people. Jesus said, there's none good, no, not one. We're not good people. And he finally gave up to the point where he just said, I have no righteousness. I deserve this. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of this. And I love, he accepted his punishment. He said, we justly, indeed justly. This is right. We deserve to die for what we've done. This is exactly what we deserve. He's not blaming God for his problems, is he? He's not blaming God for dying. He said, we deserve this. And listen what else he confesses. He confesses that Jesus is innocent. He says this, but this man, verse 41, hath done nothing amiss. You know what happened here? He believes Jesus is who he said he is. He believes that Jesus is righteous. He's holy. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God. He's the sinless one. He believes that Jesus is totally innocent. And while everyone else mocked, listen to what he said. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, what was everyone else mocking a while ago? If you're a king, come off the cross. Oh, if you're the king of the Jews, if you're the king. But what did he say? When you come to your kingdom, because you're a king, remember me. You see, this man believes. He believes the gospel. He believes the truth. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He believed it and he confessed it. Okay? Even in his suffering, even in all that's going on, he believed and he confessed. Now let me show you. The Bible is showing you something important here. Look at what he did. Now let me show you in Romans exactly what just happened. Romans chapter 9 tells us what just happened. Romans 9, and look at verse 9. I'm sorry, Romans 10, verse 9. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He believed in his heart, and he confessed it with his mouth. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This old boy, he believed, he confessed, and he asked Jesus the most important question that a soul can ever ask the Lord. Lord, remember me. Remember me. You have a man here that is pleading for the mercy of God. He doesn't deserve it. He's not worthy of it. But nonetheless, he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, please forgive me. Save me. Have mercy on me. You know, two men are on the cross besides Jesus. One wants to be saved from physical death, but this guy wants to be saved from spiritual death. He doesn't want to die, go to hell. He said, Lord, remember me. And when everyone else was mocking, he stood up and confessed that he believed in Jesus. And I want you to listen to Jesus' statement. When Jesus is on the cross, remember, he's got the spikes in his hands. He's got the spikes in his feet. He's hanging, his own body weight is holding him down. In order for a man to breathe in that condition, is he's got to pull up on his feet and his hands and take a breath. That's why when you look at the sayings of Jesus on the cross, he didn't say very much on the cross. He just said a few things here and there. But the longest statement Jesus says, and I don't know how long it took him to say this, but the longest thing he says is what he says right here to this man. He says, verily I say unto thee, truly I say to thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Best words can ever be heard from the Lord is today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus responded to this man, and even in his suffering, this guy got saved this day. And by the end of this day, sure enough, Jesus and this man were together in paradise. And by the way, that's what's going to make heaven, heaven. Not the pearly gates or the streets of gold, but that Jesus is going to be there. And if Jesus is going to be there, then it's going to be heaven. Because he's the merciful, kind, compassionate Son of God. And as long as he's there, it's heaven. Church, I ask you this question. Where do you stand with God today? This whole world is summed up in two people. You're either the thief on the right or the thief on the left. You're a thief either way. Either you mock and don't believe and you're living for pleasure, or you ask the Lord to forgive you and save you. But everyone's destiny, everyone's eternity is shown right there at the cross on the right hand and on the left. I want to ask you something this morning. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you been born again? Death is coming to all of us. We're not going to get out of this place without dying. We're all going to stand before God in judgment. We're all going to face eternity. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Let's stand together.